Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, April the 11th. And we will talk about why we have a winter storm warning in effect for much of Wisconsin today on April 11th. When we should be pulling out the garden tools, we'll instead be reaching for the snowblowers. Call in and tell us what you think about this spring weather that we've been having so far. Portions of northern Wisconsin also got dumped on last week. Temperatures have been way below normal, but they were above normal, it seems, just a couple of weeks ago. Now our spring flowers are croaking, and before the day is through, they'll be under a big blanket of snow. What is going on? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send your question or complaint to our email address, talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. And you know, it's not just Wisconsin either. It's feeling and looking a lot more like winter than spring across much of the country. We will find out why and invite your questions and gripes for our guest expert, John Martin, chairman of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a guest that many of you may know as one of the famous weather guys on Larry Mueller's talk show. We convinced him to come in a little earlier, maybe a lot earlier than he usually does, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Joey.
It was a messy mix of rain and snow, it seemed, or wet snow when I drove in around 4 this morning. What's it like
now? It's all snow now. It's wet snow. Of course, you know, when I scraped it off my windshield, it felt more like I was scraping a pile of water off than I was a pile of snow. But it's definitely all snow right now. And it's not, at least in Madison, it is not accumulating on roads, but it's beginning to accumulate on grassy areas and other places like that.
Yeah. How much are we going to get now in the Madison area?
Well, overall, by the time it's all done late tonight or early tomorrow, I suppose probably around this time tomorrow is a good guess about when it'll all be done. We should be in the 6 to 9 inch range here. And the variation is going to be accounted for by what happens this afternoon. We may even see some thunder and lightning with some of the snow this afternoon.
Ooh, and thunder when, snow.
And yes, and when that happens, the intensity is a little bit more in terms of the accumulation. So there'll be local spots on the 9-inch range, and then there'll be spots right near those that'll be without the benefit of that thunder snow shower, hanging more around 6 or 7 inches of snow. But that's what it looks like.
That's a lot. I saw on the National Weather Service's forecast that up to 12 inches in parts of southern Wisconsin, so there could be some pockets of...
I think, again, probably the Weather Service is alert to the fact that there will be this thunder snow embedded within the main relatively moderate snow all afternoon today, and those places are going to end up with higher accumulations. I think that's a reasonable guess. There will be a couple of spots that will come out with amounts you just can't believe, and it'll be because they were under thunderstorms.
Northern Wisconsin, a little bit less, 2 to 4 inches?
Yeah, that's right. The southern part of the state will bear the brunt of this one, and the northern part of the state will get away nearly scot-free compared to us.
Well, of course, they usually don't get away scot-free. Last week around, it was Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, the parts of up in Ashland, Superior, that area got socked.
The traditional snow belt in the lake effect region of Lake Superior really did get hammered, yeah.
All right, so how unusual is this to have a winter storm warning posted for April 11th?
I'd say it's very unusual, not unprecedented. So there is a difference, of course, between the two. In the month of April, for the last 35 years, we've had we average about 2.5 days in April where a measurable amount of snow falls. That is less than 1/10 of an inch. That's not very much. So that's more than flurries, but that's about all it is. If you ratchet that up to 1 inch of accumulated snow, that happens only 1 day on average in the month of April. So that gets exceedingly rare. If you're talking about a 5-inch event, that happens on 1/10 of a day in that average, which means, of course, it's a once every 10-year event. And that's about what schedule we're on right now.
We had one of these maybe 10 years ago?
Yeah, we had one. The one that I can recall immediately was in 1994. I wasn't here yet, but I remember that was the spring before I arrived. And it was quite exciting for me, coming from Seattle where it never snows, having grown up in Boston where it always snows, to be coming back to a place where it snows as late as April 10th. I was very excited about that. And that was 1994. And then one of the more recent years, I think somewhere around 2003 or 2004, we had 2 or 3 inches of snow in an event in April, and that's about a once every 2 or 3 year event. And so we're really right on schedule for one of these things.
And it's been unseasonably cold, too. It seems like it has been.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
That's been true. This last 5 or 6 or 8 days has been well below normal in terms of temperature.
Yeah, 20-some degrees, perhaps. And then, though, a couple of weeks ago or so, it was 80 degrees.
Yeah, which is nearly as many degrees above normal. So the average high right now, even in April, middle of April, is about a 58-degree high temperature. And so when we were in the low 80s, we were way above that.
So why is this happening?
Well, it's a good question, and maybe there have to be two ways to answer it. One is that there is a lot of variability in the mid-latitude weather at where we live in the middle latitudes, and also in the climate of the transition seasons. We're a couple of weeks past the vernal equinox, beginning of spring, and so we're transitioning out of winter. The depths of winter are a couple of months away now. We're transitioning out of winter into spring, and that tends to be a time when the weather is very variable. Because what's beginning to happen is the high latitudes, the northern latitudes of southern and northern Canada, are finally starting to see sunshine for the first time in a long, long time. And that gradually erodes the cold air that builds up at high latitudes. And it doesn't necessarily get very much warmer in the low latitudes, the tropical regions. It's just that the boundary between the warm and the cold air is starting to move across our latitudes as it warms up to the north. And that's where all of the weather is going to be contained, is right along those strong temperature contrast regions. People hear a lot about the jet stream, for instance, as one of the markers that helps to determine where storms are. And the jet stream obeys like a dog, where that horizontal or where that temperature contrast region is from the low to the high latitudes. And as it drags across us during this transition season, the weather is very, very variable. We can go from very warm to very cold in a matter of a couple of days.
Let me break for weather. We have a local weather forecast coming your way across the state of Wisconsin. Then we'll continue talking about this unusually chilly and snowy April that we're having in Wisconsin and other odd weather going on across much of the northern part of the country. We are talking with John Martin, chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison, and we welcome your questions and your own weather stories, perhaps. 1-800-642-1234. What's it like where you are right now? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, April the 11th. Gene Purcell is in for Ben Marins this afternoon, and after 5, it's the Supremes' Greatest Hits. No, not the band. He will be talking with a guest about the Supreme Court cases that most directly affect our lives. That's coming up after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We're talking this hour about the weather, the unseasonably chilly weather we've been having, the winter storm warning that is posted for today for much of Wisconsin, or at least much of southern Wisconsin, 6 to 12 inches predicted for southern Wisconsin before this is over sometime tonight, and a total of 2 to 4 inches of snow in northern Wisconsin predicted. We're wondering why we're seeing this winter storm warning on April 11th and talking about the odd spring weather that we have been experiencing and welcoming your questions for our guest. We have an open line for you. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Our guest is John Martin. He is the chairman of the Oceanic and Atmospheric Sciences Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And, you know, I'm kind of bummed out about this weather because my husband had knee surgery, and he's unable to shovel snow.
Oh, boy. I wonder who's going to do that at home, Joy.
I know. So that's why I'm really really in a cranky mood this morning. But I just heard the local weather forecast for Madison saying, temperatures in the mid-40s by Friday. Well, can I like not shovel and it'll all melt?
it melts fast. There's an old French proverb. I think it's a French proverb that says April snow is like a mother-in-law. It comes and you don't like it, but it leaves pretty quickly. So yeah, I don't know if that's true. I like that one. I don't know if that's actually true, but one thing I remember from growing up in New England, we get April snow occasionally there too, and boy, it feels like winter while the clouds are in the sky and the snow is falling. But as soon as that sun breaks, you cannot arrest the melting that occurs in an early spring sun. It goes away very quickly. I think Friday we end up with a mostly sunny day in the morning anyway, and then a potential rain event for Friday night, turning colder again Saturday. But I suspect quite a bit of the snow that we accumulate the next day and a half will go away before the weekend arrives, and there may be more snow in the air during the weekend. But I think we'll get rid of quite a bit of it.
Yeah. So
as soon as that sun comes out.
And will that be it?
Oh, I don't know. Why should I even? You know, I told people who I know that we were done in early March, and I was wrong, as it turns out. And I'm not afraid to be wrong, but I'm afraid to be wrong on the air. So yeah. I'm not going to say.
Yeah. What about what the national forecasters are saying? Don't we always get these long-term outlooks that say that the spring is going to be, you know, less snow and you know, or whatever, precipitation and temperatures, whether they'll be above or below normal?
Yeah, I think that the current projection for the spring in the Great Lakes states is a little cooler than normal. But I forget now what the projection for precipitation is. They often go hand in hand. If it's cooler than normal, we tend to get a little bit more showery weather. And so there may also be a slightly above normal precipitation regime. But that They don't ever make a statement about whether it'll be frozen or liquid this time of year.
All right. Well, we have a couple of callers. Let's go to the phones. Mary in Madison is with us first. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to call and say I love this kind of snow, this late spring snow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real wet, heavy snow, and yet it's going to be gone in two or three days.
So yeah.
It's just that perfect last bit of blanketing.
What about your tulips, Mary?
They're already frozen anyway.
Okay.
And so many of those spring flowers are tough to this because it happens once in a while. And these things have evolved in an environment where they have to be able to survive that unusual or unanticipated freeze. They can handle it, most of them, not all of them. But I agree with you, Mary. I'm a big snow fan. All my students know it. I just love the snow.
I just had my dog out, and my dog's all excited.
Yeah, see, they get excited, too. I don't mind the comparison to a dog, because that's how I feel when it snows. I'm out there, and I absolutely love it. I'm a little tired of it. I'm trying to coach a baseball team. I'd rather get out and have them throw the ball around. But when it's snowing out, you can never see a frown on my face.
Yeah. Well, Mary, thanks very much. Thank enjoy you. Enjoy the 9, 12 inches or so.
It'll be gone by Sunday. So.
Yeah, maybe even before that, John Martin?
A good fraction of it will be gone even before that, I think.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. Speaking of baseball, I don't recall the last time I heard that, Major League Baseball, I think it was Cleveland, like it just couldn't do its opening week.
Yeah, they snowed out their entire first homestand. And I've heard, and I was a victim of it once, here, you know, an inch or so of snow falling in an unusual location. I think it was St. Louis for me. A game was snowed out, but not a foot of snow. I mean, they actually had plows on Jacobs Field trying to get this snow off the field. That could have ramifications for the quality of the surface for a long time, I would guess. But yeah, that's amazing. What an amazing event.
Yeah, now we have Cleveland and California playing at the Miller Stadium because there's a roof.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's kind of unusual to have that happen, too. Let's, I also mentioned tulips before. You say that our spring flowers and our lawn stuff, that's going to be okay even after?
I think it handles it. I am not,
you're not a
horticulturist or a gardener, but I think it can handle it because it's, as I say, you know, we're talking about it earlier in the show. This is not an unprecedented event, and if you had an unprecedented freeze, you might put, you know, some of the biology at great risk, but it's not unprecedented. It's already got it figured in as a possibility, so most of it can survive.
Next, we go to Dennis in Arpen. Hi, you're on the air.
Arpen? Good morning. Yes, Arpen.
Okay.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My question is more, in fact, well, right now it's light snow up here in central Wisconsin, but my question is more whether climate related than it is weather. I was wondering if the guests had any information, if there was any research that has been done on any correlation between the loss of forest habitat and climate. Say, like we're losing our rainforest now. Is that what that attributes to the climate change? And say, if you compare it to 100 years ago when we cut the forests of northern North America, if there was a correlation there that you could come up with. And thank you for taking my question.
Yeah, there are a couple of different aspects to the answer to that question. On the very large scale, if you take away the entire Amazon rainforest, you're taking away vegetation that does a lot of what we call assimilating of carbon from the atmosphere. And that is, as trees grow, they actually produce, you know, of course, wood and leaves and various other organic matter, which is largely carbon-based. And that carbon comes partly from the carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere. So if you eliminate those trees, you're going to also eliminate one giant sink, one giant reservoir for atmospheric carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is one of the primary greenhouse gas, one of the primary greenhouse gases. It's not the only one, but it's one of the primary ones. And those greenhouse gases are extremely important for our planet. If we didn't have an atmosphere with those constituents in it, we would be a lot colder than we are. I mean, so much colder that there'd be no liquid water on the planet. So the greenhouse effect is generally a good thing. It's when it gets out of control that we have to start worrying about altering the climate system in a way that we can't exactly foretell. So getting rid of large forest areas is not a good idea because we already know we're having an increase in our carbon dioxide content in the atmosphere, and forests are one way in which we can pull that content down by assimilating that carbon into trees. On the local scale, it's interesting you mentioned the United States. The continental United States is now more vegetated by trees than it was 100 years ago because we're less of an agrarian nation than we were. And so we're actually seeing a rebound in the amount of forested areas in the United States. As amazing as that might sound, it turns out to be true. And on the local scale, taking away forests can make a huge difference in whether or not the land that results will be drought-resistant or will be hotter than normal. If you take away a giant forest in the United States, let's say somewhere in southern Kansas or something, and you grow wheat there for decades, you're going to end up with a region of southern Kansas that is a lot warmer than it used to be because there's not as much shading going on. The ground is not as able to retain water in it, and so there's greater and greater heating of the surface and therefore the air above it. So there's local climate effects that are a result of deforestation on both the large and on the small scale that are interesting and some of them important for the global climate picture.
Thank you, Dennis, for the call. Just a couple of minutes before a news break, but I wanted to ask you about a comment I saw in the Madison Capital Times the other day. It was someone complaining that, you know, all you people who think that global warming is such a big problem, you can come over here and cover up my plants because it's so cold. I'm making the statement that if there was global warming, we wouldn't have such a cold, snowy spring. That's not right logic, right?
No, it's not even logical at all. I mean, it's sort of saying that because I have a situation on hand today, that there's no threat at all anywhere else. It seems funny that people, when they make comments about national security in this current era, will not make the same logical mistake. They'll say things like, if we don't keep our act together in Iraq, we're going to have those people come to the United States. So there's a sense that there's a global threat to that. But people will be extraordinarily parochial in their thinking about climate change if they don't, quote, believe it. And I think the idea that this is a belief and that this whole issue ought to be, considered as an issue of faith is absolutely wrong. This is an issue of fact and reason.
Yeah, we will talk more about this after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with John Martin, chairman of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison, about the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight. Walking in the winter wonderland.
Well, it will be a winter wonderland across much of Wisconsin before the winter storm warning, in effect, is over. Looks like southern Wisconsin could get anywhere between 9 and 12 inches of snow under this winter storm warning that's posted for much of the southern half of the state. And then northern Wisconsin, not under the warning, but still 2 to 4 inches or so of snow expected for northern Wisconsin. We're talking about this winter storm warning that has been posted for southern Wisconsin for today, talking with our guest about how unusual it is to have such a weather event like this on April 11th. By the way, it is unusual, maybe once every 10 years or so. We're talking about what's causing this unseasonably snowy spring and cold spring, and wondering what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking some about also the difference between weather and climate. John Martin, our guest, chairman of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He is one of the weather guys, the team that regularly appears on Larry Mueller's program every last Monday of the month. In fact, you and Steve Ackerman will be on with Larry once again on Monday, April the 30th, right?
That is correct.
And let's talk a little bit about the difference between weather and climate. Just because we're having a cold April or a snowy April, that's different than global warming, right? I mean, that's different than the climate, you know, that the temperatures around the world are going up. Just because it's colder and snowier here in Wisconsin doesn't mean that it's not warmer in the climate.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Joey. There's a big distinction between what we call the weather, which is what we're dealing with today, and the climate, which is sort of a background condition that helps to arrange elements that conspire to produce the weather. So today, we have an unusual event on our hands, snow in almost mid-April. It's not unprecedented, so the ingredients are occasionally arrayed in the right way for snow. We get it once every 10 years, as you just pointed out, at about this time of year. So I view the weather in a simple way as a conspiracy of circumstances. You need to have cold enough temperatures, for instance, for today. You need to have abundant moisture in the atmosphere. You need to have some mechanism which will wring the moisture out in the form of precipitation. Those things you can all identify separately in different seasons of the year. To have them all come together on April 11th is a conspiracy of those circumstances. Now, those circumstances themselves are arrayed or positioned as available to us by the climate system, which is the big background condition that helps to organize the weather and sort of regulates the way in which individual weather systems might come to us at certain seasons of the year. There are many analogies. This is a difficult question to make sense of, but there are many analogies that come to mind in terms of trying to make a distinction between weather and climate. One of them is, for instance, if you go to the casino, whether you're playing blackjack or rolling dice, you know, if you have any reasonable degree of in touch with reality about gambling, that the longer you stay in the casino, the more you're going to lose. That's a fact. It's a bedrock fact. And you could consider that as the background condition for your gambling expedition. It would be analogous to the climate background condition. That does not, the fact that you're going to lose if you stay long enough, does not prohibit you from winning big in a short period of time, and then maybe losing big. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have fluctuations, and some of them might be unusual. You might win seven hands in a row, which would be perhaps as unusual as having 6 inches of snow on April 11th. It's not prohibited. It's not an impossibility. But in the long run, you're simply not going to go out of there a winner if you stay too long. So that distinction between your winning and losing at the gambling table, at the blackjack table, and the fact that you're bound to lose if you stay long enough is one way to imagine the difference between weather and climate, the weather being an individual hand, the climate being you're going to lose. Yeah. And so it's absolutely within, nature is bountifully variable. And so there is so much variability in nature that it's not impossible by any means to have what looks like a winter event today on the 11th of April in the midst of a planet that on average, and the planet's huge, it's bigger than Wisconsin, it's bigger than the United States, on a planet that is warming up over the last 150 years, and with consequences that will be not only somewhat difficult to pinpoint, but also probably quite extreme. We're going to have to adapt to that.
We did get a call from Bob in Madison, who also wanted to mention and have you comment on how this last December, 2006, was exceptionally warm.
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
And
And most of January was exceptionally warm, too. So these things, again, they're within the envelope of variability in nature. And one needs to go back and maybe look at 30 or 40 years, and you'll find similarly warm Decembers. That does not detract from the fact that overall, across the entire globe, we have over 100 years, and we're talking about a much longer time scale and a much bigger scale in space. We're looking at a degree and a half or 2 degrees Celsius, which is on the order of 3 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit, of average temperature increase.
So I'm just a lay person here, but December, January were warmer because of the one factor, the position of the jet stream, and, mm-hmm. and warmer temperatures were over Wisconsin because mm-hmm. of the position of the jet stream. And now it's colder during the past week or so, and the snow is happening again in part because of where the jet stream is.
Yeah, when you in the winter seasons or even in the early spring, when the jet is configured at our exact latitude and longitude, so right about at 90 degrees west and 41 north, if the jet is north of us, we tend to be warm. By the time the summer arrives, the jet is always north of us because it follows the cold air back towards the pole. The coldest air is over the pole then. In the middle of the winter, the coldest air can come down as far south as Kansas, Texas, Gulf of Mexico. And so the jet can find its way south of us, and then we stay cold. But when it's north of us, we stay warm. And the reason why there's such fluctuations from December to January to February is a great question, and one can reconstruct it and try and give an answer to it many months after the fact. But as it's occurring, it's difficult sometimes to know what physical factors are leading to the production of a structure that gives us extra warmth in December, January, as we got this year, and then is followed immediately by a period that makes us extra cold. The answers are out there because it's a physical system. It's just you can't sometimes see them right away. You need some months to think about it.
Let's go back to the phone. Scott in Menasha is with us next. Hi, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was born in January of 62 out on a farm, and my parents would tell me how the snowbanks and drifts were just about up to the tops of the telephone poles back then. And so certainly there are some changes going on now. 45 years later, you don't see nothing like that anymore. But as far as the snow in the spring, if it's 70 versus 75 degrees, you really don't notice a difference. But if it's 32 versus 35 or 37, that's the difference between your showers or a storm.
Absolutely right.
Good point.
Yeah, what an excellent comment. That there are certain thresholds in our experience that matter more than others. So the absolute variation in temperature or in precipitation is not always the main thing. It can sometimes be, is that variability occurring right near one of those thresholds? You have an excellent point there. Another thing along those lines, you almost never hear forecasts of accumulated rainfall. Mm-hmm. No one will tell you we expect a half an inch of rain today. It's becoming increasingly common, although I'd still say it's very uncommon. But whenever snow's in the forecast, amounts are the name of the game. You'd never hear a forecast that says moderate snow during the day today. Never. You'd say, what comes after the comma? But if it's moderate rain all day, you don't expect anything after that. So very, very important point that you make.
Yeah,
I agree.
Is it perception or reality that we had more snow back in the good old days than we do now?
There may be a combination of both, but I would have to say I suspect it's mostly perception. When one looks at, I'm thinking just about Madison, Madison's annual snowfall record is highly variable, like any station's is, but it does not demonstrate an obvious trend in the last 20 years or in the last 30 years. It's up and down. And so it's an interesting question. And somebody, I think it was at UW-Whitewater perhaps, a professor over there, maybe in the sociology department, actually did a study on this and got opinions from people over 50 years old and a similar set of opinions from, or not opinions, but actual data to compare the stories and the recollections with the actual data. And the conclusion was most of the perception about how winters used to be is overblown. You remember the really big winter when you were 8 and you... As the years go by, you start to say, that happened every year when I was a kid. And it certainly did not when you look at the record.
I certainly have that perception, too.
I know I do.
We were littler, too, and so those snowbanks look bigger.
Exactly.
We're talking with John Martin. He is chairman of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about our snowy spring, our cold spring, what's going on with the weather, why are we seeing this, not just in Wisconsin, we're also seeing it across much of the country. It's the weather's been canceling Major League Baseball games in Ohio, Easter egg hunts. The eggs are buried under snow. We are now under a winter storm warning for much of southern Wisconsin for today, with predictions of 6 to 12 inches by the time it's over sometime tonight. We welcome your questions about this weather and your perceptions of the weather from before. That's okay, too. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We'll check your local forecast, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 7 o'clock, I'll welcome in a doctor, a physician who wrote a book about how doctors think. And it's pretty revealing and maybe even a little bit troubling. Hope you tune in and ask your questions about how doctors think coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about the weather that we're experiencing today and this spring, and getting some answers from John Martin, chairman of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at UW-Madison. And our next caller is Helen in Jefferson. Hi, Helen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
A very interesting topic. Of course, we're all interested in the weather all the time, but this is not scientific. This is just a personal question. I'm leaving on a bus trip tomorrow morning to Washington, D.C. How far south does this storm extend? Any problems getting out of Jefferson tomorrow morning?
Yeah, good question. I think the snow, the rain-snow boundary, Helen, is probably what you're asking about. And I think that most of the day it's going to be just south of the Wisconsin-Illinois border.
Okay.
So you'll have some trouble, perhaps.
Some delay.
Some delay in the morning tomorrow. Although, you know, the roads are going to really take a long time before they start to get a lot of snow on them. And I think particularly the busy roads are probably going to stay fairly, they're going to be wet, but that's it. And, you know, we can deal with wet.
Okay.
So I don't know if the delay will be huge. You may even feel as you're driving away, you may say, wow, with that much snow on the ground, there's not much delay. Because that's the tendency in for late spring storms, is you get that feeling. So I wouldn't expect zero delay, but I don't think I'd expect a sort of a January 12-inch snowstorm sort of delay either. It won't be that bad.
Okay, thank you. That's a little encouraging.
All right. Well, are you going to, is it a vacation, Helen?
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy yourself.
It'll be a senior bus trip, and I know we'll all be concerned about getting out of here.
Yeah, but once you're saying once she gets maybe past the Illinois line, then
I think that will be the end of the problem,
yeah.
Any problem at all.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Helen, for the call. I got back from a vacation a couple of weeks ago. I was in Jamaica, and it rained the entire time, and I got back to Wisconsin, and that's when we were in that 70 degrees.
Oh, that must just drive you crazy.
I know. But and then now we get this. James in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, just trudging through the snow, trying to make my way back to the Deer City here.
To where?
To Milwaukee.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming out of La Crosse. But the roads are fairly fine. My question had to do with the latest snow melt. I seem to remember that around the middle 60s that we actually had a really heavy snowfall in about sometime in May, because I remember walking to school, and we used to get out of school about June 12th. And I think I was still walking through snow about June 6th.
Wow.
So I was kind of wondering when the latest snow melt off as ever. They have any records on that?
All right, so you're talking about how long snow can last, not necessarily if we ever get May snowfalls.
I remember it being right into June one time.
Yeah, do you recall?
I don't know off the top of my head. It's a great question, and I think the way to actually go about finding the answer might be to go to the Wisconsin State Climatology's office or website, and you can get there from our own department website, which is www.aos.wisc.edu. And then if you hit weather and then related sites, you'll find the Wisconsin State Climatologist's office. And what they'll probably have on their website is the latest day where there was an inch of snow on the ground, which will be approximately the date that you're looking for. It won't be exactly the date, because there may be a day where there was a half an inch of snow on the ground and it was still melting, and it would count in your book, but not in theirs. That might be a way to find it. I know, though, for a fact that we had snow in Madison in May, early May, first week of May, 1991. My next-door neighbor's son had his second birthday on that day or something like that. And so there's been snow falling and accumulating as late as early May. So it wouldn't surprise me that in some parts of the state we've had snow on the ground later than that.
Well, I know for sure it was because I used to tell the story and half the people wouldn't believe me. And on a weather report maybe a year or two ago, they actually said, on the weather program that the latest snow melt we ever had was, like I say, 66 or 68. But it went right into the 4th or 6th of June.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Everybody might get a kick out of that, kind of appreciate that. This will all be gone by the weekend.
That's probably right. Yeah, and I bet you could find verification of that, which would be glorious, of course. Then you'd be able to carry that around in your wallet. And you convince people every time you met them, but I think you could find verification of that on the state climatologist's website.
Okay.
Thanks, James, and be careful at driving. The roads, you say, are not so bad, though, right now.
No, they're just wet. Just wet. There's a lot coming down, but the roads are warm enough to where the driving isn't too bad at all.
Yeah.
All right. Well, still good luck on the roads. Thanks for calling in. We did get I have a notice here that there are some school closings in southern Wisconsin. The Madison School District is not among them. The Madison School District doesn't close very, very easily. But that's interesting to have. The snow is closing schools. It's not so bad right now, but as you mentioned, John Martin, this afternoon it's going to be worse.
Yeah, my suspicion, Joy, is that these closures are made based on a forecast, which in the modern era, this is something people take for granted. This is something you can count on as being accurate in the 6 to 8 hour time frame. You couldn't count on that even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a very prudent call because I think in the afternoon we're going to have an increase in the winds and certainly an increase in the intensity of snow. It's going to start to accumulate faster after about 10 or 11 in the morning and all the way through the afternoon than it is now. So judging the evening rush hour and its severity by what you see out the window now is a mistake.
And let me go to Ione in Nina. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was just going to say that about 17 years ago on May 10th we had a big dumping of snow.
Oh, it was 1990 then. Okay, I thought it was 91. That's right. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and my mother has pictures taken on Memorial Day, I'm not sure, 65 years ago or so, where they got a big dumping of snow.
Is that your kitty in the background?
Yes, he wants to be fed breakfast.
Yeah, kitty's complaining about the snow, too. But, you know, I don't remember it being exactly 1990, but that would be around Mother's Day, and that's what I remember as a big Day snowfall time, yeah.
The reason I remember that year is that was the year my grandson was born, and he was about 3 months old.
Yeah, all right.
And we
there
had this big dumping, and so we had to get out the big snow suit for him and everything.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling in, Ione. Appreciate the call. Time for another one or two calls. John in Chippewa Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I guess the question I have is related to when the ice goes out. I've noticed we go fishing every year, opening fishing, and for a while, I had a cabin up in the Hayward area, and I'd noticed that the ice tended to be going out a week or two before opening fishing. You'd get that last ice leave the lake. Now, although I don't have the cabin anymore, so I don't get up there as often before the opening fishing. And in the Hayward area, I can remember years where we still had ice on the lake, or the 1 year anyway, where there was ice on the lake opening day. But then, you know, I'm willing to bet this year that there's no ice. And hasn't been for a while.
That's probably right. I know there's the ice on Lake Mendota went off about the last day or so of March, so it's only been gone about a week down here. I don't know how it's measured or how that determination is made up on Lake Superior, but I would guess that it's been gone at least a similarly long time, about a week or so at a minimum. Probably it could be more than that. But these kinds of records are actually really good proxies for the climate and what's gone on in a given string of years or something like that, because they're records that a lot of people pay attention to. When's the ice on and ice off dates, particularly if they have some bearing on sporting and recreation, which they almost always do. And so these records go back a very long time, and so they can be a nice way to gauge how this season compares to prior ones.
Thanks very much, John, for the call. Only a minute or so to go here, so let's kind of recap. We're gonna get about how much in southern Wisconsin, according to your predictions?
I would say that the 6 to 9 is exactly right. There'll be places that end up with 6 or maybe a fraction shy of that, and then there'll be places that end up with 9 or a fraction more than that, depending on whether they're visited by a thundersnow event this afternoon when it really gets nasty.
In northern Wisconsin, not as much, but they'll still get 2 to 4 according
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. But because this is going to be short-lived, it'll melt probably before the weekend?
I think most of it will. And I think, as we already talked about too, Joy, and this will apply even more so in northern Wisconsin, the roads, especially the main roads, will stay pretty much trouble-free most of the day today. I think here in Madison, they may become troublesome right at rush hour because that's when the intensity of the snow will be the highest. But even then, it's going to be a really quite a struggle for snow to take enough heat out of the ground on those roads to start letting the snow accumulate. This is one huge difference between snow in January and February and snow in April, is that the roads tend to stay clear.
All right. We'll leave it there and hunker down. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
John Martin, chair of the Department of Atmospheric and Oceanic Sciences at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He appears regularly with Steve Ackerman on Larry Mueller's program every last Monday of the month to talk about the weather, one of the weather guys. And we appreciate his time this morning. And we appreciate your calls and your listening. Thanks to Steve Williams for producing the hour and to Karen Prager for on-air production. Hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.